I've
actually done it. In other words, I've taken a piece of coax and kind of like cut it to length and then slipped it inside a piece of PVC and then tried, you know, to try to stiffen it up and keep it, you know, keep it a straight length and, you know, put it up against a ground plane. And it performs very similar to a whip, but just a little bit shorter. And it's in just a little bit more, a little bit broader band, just a little bit more bandwidth out of it. But very, very similar characteristics at quarter wave. I don't think I did it at half wave. Most of the experiments I did were quarter wave. Quarter wave against a ground plane, Dick. K2IW, KC2QIQ.
What was your motivation for putting a shield on a quarter wave radiator and floating the shield?
Way back when, there was a discussion, I think, on the TechNet about making stub tuning little networks with, you know, PL259 connector. Take a piece of coax, do the stubs open and short. And I was playing around with that just to see what the impedances were doing and, you know, what I could do and do some tuning experiments. Well, that's when I just, you know, hey, what the heck, I'm already there with the network analyzer and my little MFJ analyzer. I figured, what happens if I just, you know, basically tune just the center length of the coax and or the shield and then tie them together. And by floating the shield, I actually got a little bit better performance than tying the shield to the center lead, which I thought was kind of incredible. So that was part of that one, Dick. Back to you.
Okay, you've got a piece of hard evidence that supports what Len is saying. So Len's our antenna man tonight. How about that? Over to you, Len.
Nice, it's just a good guess, Dick, but thank you for the compliment. We'll see you guys. We're going to call it a night. K2RIW in the group K2IVX.
K2RFN.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Alan.
You remember we were talking about trying to build a directional antenna by having a antenna enclosed in basically a coffee can and then having a little slit. Doesn't that sound similar to that, Dick? And wouldn't we be expecting to see some similar properties?
In the case of the coffee can with a slit, if I understand correctly, you were trying to build a highly directional, vertically polarized antenna, if I remember correctly. And you wanted the RF energy to squirt out of the slit to the north and not squirt out to the south. You wanted to... And as you rotated that slit, because the coffee can was outside of the radiator and rotating, you wanted that to be an antenna that scanned in azimuth is what you were looking for. And I'm not so sure that that's going to work. I hope you're able to hear my voice over the advertisement. Over to you, Alan. KC2QIQ. I mean, here. Yeah, there we go. KC2RFN, K2RIW. Okay, I'm hearing you now. I was hearing you only on the input. Yes, that vertical slit would be a horizontally polarized antenna. That's just the way slits work. That's called Babnitz rule. You can take any antenna, which is a piece of metal in space, and build the inverse. You take a sheet of metal and cut out an empty space where the metal used to be, and you get the exact same pattern, the exact same gain, but horizontal and vertical polarization get reversed. So that vertical slit, if it radiates at all, would be horizontally polarized, and it would be quasi-omnidirectional. As you rotated that coffee can, you'd like to have a scanning beam, and there would be very little scanning going on, is my belief, Alan. Back to you, K2RIW.
Right, I got that. But now imagine that... You know, a shield, a floating shield is really just a can that's been slid over the vertical radiator. Except instead of a slit being cut vertically, you know, parallel with the radiator, it's actually just open on the top. You know, doesn't that seem like the same thing? Except instead of a slit being on the vertical, it's on the horizontal, and maybe that'll give you some insight to what's actually happening.
When you say open on the top, that really means it's like an open-ended piece of pipe, and there's a semiconductor somewhere in the middle of that pipe. The open-end round object is really a round piece of waveguide. And until that piece of waveguide is very close to a half wavelength in diameter, it will not radiate. It's a waveguide beyond cutoff. See, waveguide is a high-pass filter. It's the world's sharpest high-pass filter. You go a little bit below the frequency where the waveguide is a half wave in its maximum dimension, and instead of the signal propagating down there at a couple of dB per 100 feet of loss, you get a 100 dB per foot of loss, if you know what I mean. It becomes an extremely sharp high-pass filter. So if the wire stuck out above the top of the open end, then it's called a sleeve dipole. If the wire didn't stick out the end, in theory, it cannot radiate unless the circular end is a half wavelength in diameter, which is pretty darn big. Over to you, Alan.
Okay, I got that. Now I understand that. So if you were using a field test meter and you were going toward the end, you'd see no radiation at all, correct?
If the wire of the center conductor radiator is down inside of that pipe and doesn't stick out the end, in theory there's no radiation at all. Now, if the wire of the center conductor is flush with the end, yes, it is making a local E-field, and it's an extremely short sleeve dipole, and some radiation will take place. But if that wire is really inside, you've now got a piece of waveguide beyond cutoff. And my goodness, is that the sharpest high-pass filter you've ever seen. Over to you, Alan.
Comments?
Yes, when you frame it as a filter, I understand exactly what you're talking about. But as the signal is coupling to the shield, where along the length would you expect to find the greatest signal, the greatest strength signal? Obviously not at the end.
Not quite sure what you mean when you said the signal propagating along the shield. How are we launching the signal on the shield first, Alan, go ahead.
Okay, you were talking about Wesley's setup where you have a vertical radiator, and then you replace that with a piece of coax where the shield is floating. And I'm saying that the shield is the floating shield is almost like, you know, having a coffee can or a pipe slid down over the center conductor. Same difference. You're saying that when you look at the open end, let's say the top where you're looking down, and the center conductor is not flush but is submerged within the pipe, you're not going to get any signal out. But we were just saying, and Len was saying, that there's coupling between the center conductor and the floating shield, and you are getting some transmittance. So where along that is the greatest transmittance? Is it toward the center? Obviously not toward the top, or is it toward the bottom?
Yeah, the way you describe this one is that the center conductor is depressed from the top, and at first you'd say no radiation takes place at that end. But how are we getting the signal onto that center conductor? The center conductor is sticking out of the bottom end, and that's where we're feeding it. That's a very different situation. If by some magic I have a hole cut into the side of the shield, and through that hole I feed the center wire, and both ends of the center wire are depressed from the end of the coax, I've done that experiment. No radiation takes place. None. You perfectly shielded that dipole. But now in the case of this monopole, you've got the wire sticking out of the bottom end, and you're feeding it by the ground plane structure. That's a very different case. Now what signal that finally gets onto that outer shield, I think is going to have an E-field pattern quite similar to the E-field pattern that would have been on the center conductor if the shield wasn't there. Over to you, Alan.
Okay, and just I may be way off here, but that's exactly what Glenn and Len were talking about, correct?
Yes and no. They were talking about a whole lot of things. I'm pretty sure Glenn was saying that he did feed it from the bottom end, and even though the shield was there and it was floating, he got a little bit more bandwidth, and it radiated almost as if the shield wasn't there. But that's because he's got this great big open end at the bottom that he's feeding. And the local magnetic field is launching all kinds of things onto the shield, the local E-field. Even though the shield is a non-resonant lens, in that case, it was tightly coupled to that center radiator. And apparently, according to Glenn's experiment, it radiated very well. And I'm believing that the pattern on that outer shield is the voltage and position along that was very similar to what would have happened if the voltage was being measured on the center conductor without the shield present. How about you, Alan?
Right, and Len basically explained that, added on to that and explained that in his last transmission, right?
I think so, but neither one of them went to the idea of drilling a small hole in the outer shield at the center and feeding the center conductor as a shielded dipole. I've done that experiment. No radiation takes place. Or if it is, it's a 30 dB suppressed, if you know what I mean. That's just a matter of how well you shield that structure as you couple signal through that hole you drilled in the side in the center of the shield. So a thoroughly shielded dipole that's depressed from the ends of the outer shield of a coax-like structure will not radiate. You end up with an extremely high Q cavity resonator that does not radiate. As I said, I've done that particular experiment. Anybody have any further questions or comments? K2RIW in the TechNet.
To Jens.
Go ahead, Wesley.
Okay, I was thinking that I have a ground plane on the car, and then I use the central conductor or just the wire inside, and I put the copper part with the cut out vertically in it, which will create a long slit. Now, I motorize that pipe and make it turn at a certain numbers, RPMs, whatever I need. Now, I use flux gate compass into that. And would that be a good deterrent for the cockroach and to exhale?
If the original ground plane on your automobile was at an RF frequency, like 2 meters, and you put a copper pipe over it with a vertical slit, and then the copper pipe is being rotated by a motor, and you want that to be a scanning antenna, I think that is not a scanning antenna. It looks like a scanning antenna, but that vertical slit that is being rotated is not the thing that's doing the radiating. So even though the vertical slit is being rotated, because it's not doing the radiating, the pattern is not being rotated. That's my belief. Over to you, Wesley.
We are Dick.
Oh, hi. And to you.
Dick, I agree with you. I think what's going to happen is the vertical radiator on the antenna is, rather the pipe with the slit, is going to re-radiate the signal from the antenna in the center. So it's just, whether there's a slit or not, Wesley seems to feel that the RF is going to escape the slit and the slit's rotating. It sounds logical, but I think what's going to happen is the whole pipe is going to re-radiate the signal. Do you agree, Dick?
Not if it's grounded. Okay, what do you believe is going to happen if it's grounded?
Wesley will take over the net.
It'll do exactly what you said it would do. It would reverse its polarization. Everything would invert.
Not really. The vertical piece of wire that's inside of the copper pipe, and the copper pipe is grounded, is symmetrically located with reference to the slit. The only way the slit can rotate is if it has horizontally polarized E-field across the slit. The vertical piece of wire in the center is not exciting the slit in that mode. Therefore, the slit can't be the radiating structure. See what I'm saying, Alan? Go ahead.
I think so, Dick. I'm obviously going to have to build this thing and measure it and see it for myself. Hopefully I'll get around to that.
So I was thinking about this part of this type of ground plane as the receiving antenna only.
See, in the case of the rotating structure, you want it to have a significant horizontal beam width, like a flashlight beam, and you want that beam to be rotatable in azimuth around the horizon. In order to have a horizontal beam width, it's got to have horizontal real estate. Some significant portion of a wavelength of horizontal real estate. In the structure that you're describing, how many wavelengths of horizontal and horizontally excited real estate does that have? Over to you, Alan.
Not even a wavelength.
Is it not even a 0.05 wavelength?
Probably not. Not if you're on 2 meters and you're only putting a slit in a pipe.
So without horizontal real estate, you cannot have horizontal directivity, which means horizontal beam width pattern, 3-degree beam width of something. See, in the case of a vertical radiator, it has essentially zero horizontal real estate, horizontally excited real estate. Therefore, it has zero horizontal directivity. That's what gives it that pancake pattern. And so the slit of rotating pipe falls into that category. If you don't invest in real estate in that dimension, then you don't have directivity in the dimension of that plane. You see the physical principle there, Alan. KQ2RFN, KQ2RIW.
Hey, you can't squeeze an elephant through a keyhole. I understand that.
In the Second World War, Germans were using a loop antenna. It looks like a circle on the top of the vehicle for the purpose of radio prolongation. What would you say about this application for 2 meters?
Now, a loop antenna has some horizontal real estate to it. That's the diameter of the loop. And because it is an H-field exciting structure, that really does have some horizontal directivity. It's got a bidirectional pattern if you don't add another element to it. And there's ways that you can make the bidirectional pattern. It's a figure-eight pattern, and you can make one lobe of the figure-eight bigger than the other by adding another element to it and probably exciting it. Now, that's a beautiful direction-finding antenna by which you can do triangulation. Over to you, Wesley.
Okay, I didn't really very much read about the technology from the Second World War, but that antenna was rotating at that time, and they were able to find the location of the partisan transmitters. My question is that, let's say you put that antenna, the loop antenna, inside of the pipe that is bended exactly circularly with the slit on it. Would that work for the cockroach?
Yeah, those loop antennas sometimes were built with a piece of pipe where there was one interruption somewhere in that circular piece of pipe. If a piece of pipe was a perfect circle with no interruption anywhere, it would be very difficult to excite it. Not impossible, but difficult. And you could excite it with a delta-like structure or with a gamma-like structure. But a loop antenna does make a fairly nice direction finder, and you could rotate it. And now you've got to decide, do I want to mechanically rotate something on the top of my car, or do I want to electronically rotate by way of the Doppelscan technique?
Mechanically, I have no problem with that.
Secondo BGB! Secondo Wesley's Game Boyfriend, don't go fuck Wesley at this! We're looking to get fucked up as by KC2 WGB! In KC2, Wesley Game Boyfriend, Wesley looking to
you have a copy? This is Kilo Charlie 2 Romeo Sierra Foxtrot, over.
Dick?
Negatory here. Romeo Sierra Foxtrot, go ahead.
Okay, sir, I thank you so much for the comeback. I'm transmitting from Tuckerton Borough, 18 miles outside of Atlantic City, the most southern end of Ocean County. And you're coming in here. I think Wesley may remember me. I used to live down there in Monmouth County, right across from the Big Apple there. And yous are coming in here really, 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 really great. And just out of curiosity, I was wondering how you're receiving me over there in the Big Apple in Long Island. Over.
Tom, by way of the repeater, we're receiving you very well. A little bit of noise, but not much. Right now, I'm not hearing you on the input, but I'm about to turn on my preamplifier and see if I do hear you. So give me another transmission.
Okay. KC2WHB calling KC2 Wesley's gay boyfriend. Wesley's looking to get fucked up the ass. Calling KC2 Wesley's gay boyfriend.
8 off at the Garden State.
KC2.
Only 18 miles outside of Atlantic City.
WHB.
I think I got that right.
KC2 looking for Wesley. KC2, Wesley's gay boyfriend. Where are you, Wesley's gay boyfriend? Wesley looking for big Polish kielbasa.
Tom, my antenna is aimed toward the repeater at Glen Oaks. You're quite a bit further south, and you're out of the beamwidth of my 14-element Yagi, and I don't have a rotator on it right now. So I'm not hearing you, Tom, but I am hearing the other guy weakly. Are you hearing him down there, Tom? KC2RSF, K2RW in the TechNet?
Yes, sir, I am. I'm picking up Wesley quite well, as well as yourself. And then an individual in there that's being very obnoxious and rude. I pick him up quite well down here, too, in Tuckerton Borough. Copy.
Okay. So I think you're saying that you are hearing my signal. Amazing. And for some silly reason, I'm not hearing you. When you're saying you're hearing me, are you talking about hearing me through the repeater? Or are you hearing me on the input frequency? Over to you, Tom.
No, very technical. All I know is that I...
KC2 WGB, KC2 Wesley's gay boyfriend, bye-bye.
New York City over there in the Rumson Borough. I heard you like you were next door. You're coming in just as well, right?
He's interrupting the Wesley net. This is the Wesley net that only Wesley can talk.
I'm approximately 100 miles from the Big Apple as the crow flies. Over.
Okay, let me double check now, Tom. When you're hearing my signal and you're saying you're hearing me well, is your receiver listening to me live on 146.250? Are you hearing my input signal? You're saying you're hearing me very loud. Are you hearing me on my transmitting frequency, 146.25? Give me a repeat on that one, Tom. KC2RSF, K2RIW in the TechNet.
Alrighty, I was receiving a 146.25, I believe. What I had to do, what the delay was, I had to switch mics. The mic I'm using now is a HAL mic, and I had to put the stock mic in to basically push the controls on the mic to read the frequency that I was on. And believe it came out 14625.
I wonder if you're still there, Tom. You started getting weak at the end. KC2R, Romeo, Sierra, Foxtrot, in Tuckerton, New Jersey, K2RIW. Go ahead, Tom. Yeah, I think he faded out, and I think there could be some confusion as to whether or not he was listening on the input frequency or the output frequency. If Tom was still copying, and if we were still copying COM, I was about to make a power change and ask him if he saw my power go up or down. That's the change I was about to do. Is John KC2WGB on frequency, or is he set for the night? Are you around, John?
I take point of info. I'm upstairs right now, but a little while ago I heard you very loud on the input on the Collins.
Yeah, for you and Whitestone, I agree with that. I believe that, and I'm hearing your input right now from your handy talkie on the input. So between you and I, we've got a beautiful path, Rich. I'm going to have to leave you guys. We've had a good night. We haven't answered all the questions. What else is new? But we're making some progress, and we're making some connections of people and crazy ideas, and finding out some of the things that work and some of the things that don't work. And some of the things that we don't know. We're learning a little more about what we don't know. This was TechNet number 1,344 of the series that began in September of 1982, 28 years ago. Craziness. Boy, these guys are dedicated. Try to be kind to each other. See you guys next week. We'll try to settle more of these issues next week. And Mel, if we haven't put you to sleep, go right ahead. K2KEY, K2RAW.
Yeah, I'm just about ready to call it a night, and I was listening for a while there on the handy talkie, and so I figured I'll hang on a couple more minutes. I was just about ready to really to call it a night, too. I have an awful lot to do this week. Okay, everybody, take care. It's been a pleasure, as always, and as Dick says, we'll try our best to do it again next week. 73 is all in it. Have a great week. This is K2KEY.
And all you guys that contributed all that great information, thank you. Please come back. Bye-bye for now.
Hey, Dick, if you got a second, I got a good website for you to go to. Make some money.
I can't make money. I don't have any time. But go ahead, Rich.
Okay, Dick. Go to SpaceX. SpaceX.com and sign up for their newsletter. I wanted to come in earlier when Paul was doing the space report. That company is the company that's doing the Dragon rocket and the Falcon rocket to come. You know, space travel going to private enterprise. I called them on the phone. And I said to them, are you a public company? And if so, what's your stock ticker number? Your stock ticker ID. The girl said they're going to go public within 2 years. I think it might be a good company to buy stock in.
Okay, now I see what you're saying. A stock investment that in theory doesn't require time. It just requires deep pockets. Okay, that's worth considering. Thank you. Bye-bye for now, Rich. Good luck with that painting.
And I want to thank everybody for the information on the... I got a wealth of information here tonight on airbrushing those cabinets. Everybody, thank you. And to Leo.
Dick, before you go, just a very short answer. If you take that coaxial cable as a whip and you... At the end of that coaxial cable, you connect the end of the inner wire to the floating shield. How would that structure behave?
I'm not completely sure, but I think it will behave as a fat radiator. Only a small change in impedance. I believe.
SAT? I didn't understand that.
FAT. In other words, if I made the center conductor larger in diameter, or if I fed the coax cable in the way that you described, I think the results would be similar. Go ahead.
Thank you very much for the answer, and have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system. Node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active.
Tonight at 8:30, W2VL repeater system.